Welcome to part two of the Premier Napa Valley podcast, coming to you from the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley. Premier is Napa Valley Vintner's annual midwinter barrel auction for the trade, and this program features brief interviews with winemakers, owners, and attendees at the event. Special thanks to the Napa Valley Vintners Association for their support. This podcast is sponsored by Waterford Wine Company. Find them on the web at waterfordwine.com.
I'm here with Mark Cohen. We had met originally in Chicago, probably a couple years ago at the very least, if not maybe 3 years ago, at the Napa Valley Vintners Tasting there. How you doing?
Correct. Fine, great. We're at Premier Napa Valley, having a great time.
And you are the owner of Howl at the Moon, which is a great name.
My winemaker, Tim Miles.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Good. I can't drop that,
No worries.
There we go. So tell me a little bit about the wine you're making.
All right. So the wine is from a single vineyard, single block. It's actually a subsection of a block we held out just for the Premier Napa Valley. It's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 100% Clone 7. What makes it unusual on Howl Mountain is much of Howl Mountain is those red volcanic soils. What we have is a gray tufa, so it's volcanic ash. I think it adds a little layer of complexity to the wine. They're great lean soils, which means the vines work very hard to produce the fruit. That's what makes the best wine.
So you had this predetermined. You knew what you wanted to do for the auction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how long have you been a winemaker for Howl?
I've been a winemaker since 2006, working on the 2005 vintage as a blend in blending, but I've been making wine for 15 years.
And as I recall, which relates to the name, that is on Howl Mountain, correct?
Indeed. We are about 2,000 feet up on Howl Mountain.
You guys were well north of the wildfire the other day, right? You
didn't have absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Well, two things. There should be no effect because, A, the vines are dormant.
Right.
There's no green material out. That's what the smoke sticks to. And thankfully, no vineyards were involved. None of our vineyards were involved. Someone said it was a prescribed burn, and someone let that get out of control.
Jim, how can our listeners learn about you online?
So, Howl at the Moon has a Facebook page, our website, howlatthemoonwine.com.
Excellent. Jim, it was a real pleasure meeting you. Thanks
Ray
very much.
Point. Thanks, Ray.
Cool. Jumping in last minute like that. I am here with Ben Parrott, who is the associate winemaker, as well as Diana Schweiger. How are you doing, Diana?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm having a good time, always. I want to talk about the Malbec, because that was an interesting issue to me the other day, that you're doing 100% Malbec, correct?
Yes.
100%.
100%.
I want to see who I'm going to on that. I'm going to go to Ben, right?
100% Malbec, yes.
So what made you decide to choose Malbec?
No, nobody does it on Spring Mountain. We thought it would be a nice one to kind of introduce people to how Malbec ripens on the mountain. Just kind of a unique lot for everybody on the mountain, I guess.
I think that might be something to draw a few extra bitters just because of it being unique.
And I think we're the only Malbec here today.
The only 100% Malbec. There is a Malbec. I found another Malbec. That really surprised me.
Who is it?
Rubisoft.
Well, you know, you got to go 100%.
100%, right.
100%.
Is there any particular reason why there's no blend? I mean, you wanted to make it 100% Malbec.
Why blend it if it already tastes good on its own?
I agree with that. What was the altitude of the fruit where it was grown?
2,000 feet.
That's up there. That's well above the fog line.
It is. It's above the fog line. It's above. There's a unique inversion layer, so it's got an even ripening up there. Longer ripening season as well. So you'll see a lot more extraction in this Malbec than probably others from other parts of the valley.
But generally, you use Malbec for possibly some blending then?
Yeah, we use the Malbec mostly for our dedication blend. It's about a 4% blend that goes into our dedication, which is comprised of Cabernet, Merlot, Cab Franc, and a little Malbec. Pretty good stuff, huh?
It's very good stuff, and I wish our listeners could taste this because the difference between, all due respect to Argentina, what some of you guys are growing up here is really pretty amazing. Very full body.
Well, I'll just let consumers know that if this is a success, perhaps there'll be more Malbec down the road. Who knows?
So how can our listeners learn more about Schweiger Vineyards online?
They can go to schweigervineyards.com, like us on Facebook, and check out my brother's blogs that he does on Twitter and other areas.
Ben, it was a pleasure meeting you the other day, and nice seeing you again, Diana.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
That's my new one. That's what this is all. My lot is Cabernet Franc this year from the Saunders Vineyard, which is on the top of the hill in East Oakville. Some of the oldest fruit in the valley is 22 years old now. It went into some of the big blends that have been very popular, especially from my area of Oakville. So I decided for the first time to do just a Cabernet Franc. And I decided to call it Frankenstern because it was the only way it could get my name on the label.
Which I need to... which I need to introduce you. I'm speaking to Elliot Stern and Frankenstern. That's really a great name. It's almost like, why didn't anybody come up with that before? But you'd have to be a Stern to make it work.
Well, thank you. The interesting part is that it's very serious wine behind a funny name. This is the Cabernet Franc vineyard that Parker and Tanzer both said was the best in the world outside of Haussmann. So this is pretty high-end stuff, and you can see why it always costs more in our area than the Cabernet Sauvignon. And this is the area where you have Della Valle, and you have Phelps Bacchus, and you have Screaming Eagle, and the most expensive varietal in the whole area was the Cabernet Franc. I took over the entire vineyard in 2009. It's all now biodynamically farmed. So Sarah Gott and Marie-Laure Ammons put it together, and we thought it'd be fun to have our introductory party for Frankenstern at Premier Napa.
That's a great idea. We're only missing one thing, and that'd be the outfit. You know, that would really pay it off. But then you'd scare everybody.
Well, the back label talks about being stitched together, and it's a Boris-like combination. So I got all that fun on the back label.
One thing I want to mention, by the way, Elliot, is with Oakville East.
Oakville East Exposure.
Thank you. When you do the label, I mean, this is strictly the lot for Premier, correct?
Well, it's strictly a lot for Premier, but we're going to bottle on June 10th, the Biodynamic Fruit Day. So we will do a Franc. It will be a little bit different. And what's interesting about Premier that people don't talk about, especially with the young wines, is that we don't have total oak integration back into the wine yet. So at 16, 17 months, you start to get the oak integration back. But when we get to 20 and 22 months, the oak will change, so the final blending will actually change a little bit. But we made 5 cases for Premier.
And it will have that label.
On October 31st of this year, Frankenstern will be available.
Elliot, if our listeners would like to learn a little bit more about you online, how would they do that?
I can be reached at oakvilleeast.com.
Excellent. It was good seeing you again.
Thanks. Good to see you.
And nice to see you bring humor to this.
Yeah, you got to have a little fun in the wine business.
Yeah, you look like you're in a flight simulator.
Am I? Why?
Oh. You got the headphones. You got the joystick. You're ready to roll.
It's just too loud. That's all. It's the way it keeps me from going deaf.
We are here with Mikhail Gajinsky of Spotted Owl Vineyards, right?
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about Spotted Owl.
So we're up on Mount Veeder. We've been selling fruit for the last 20 years. And in 2004, I started the Spotted Owl Vineyards winery to kind of build a business for my daughter, who was born in 04. She's now going to be 8 years old next month, and we make a special wine called Alexandra's Cuvée, just commemorating her birth.
I imagine you have her working in the vineyards by now, too. I mean, 8 is a good age to start.
She is a best taster out there. And she's actually, this last year, she actually helped blend her own wine with me.
Oh, that's excellent. Nothing like starting them young, but they say women have a better palate than men. Is that right?
Absolutely. She's been really kind of helping out both in the vineyard and on the tasting. So we also have a Spotted Owl on the property. That's hence the name, Spotted Owl Vineyards. She named him Chuck. And Chuck finally got a mate this last year. So right. we might have little wowlets coming. Chuck was really pathetic for many years.
Oh, no.
Now he's a happy camper.
So where are you located exactly?
So we are on the top of Mount Veeder Road, right where La Coya turns off. That's one of our vineyards. We have several vineyards up there. And we actually have a tasting room now here in St. Helena called Savor St. Helena, where we pour our wines.
So tell me about your auction lot.
So our auction lot is really special in that it's the first production that we have with our Petit Verdot block coming online. And so we're calling it a Kiss of Verdot. It's 97 cab with 3% Verdot. And the Verdot just makes it such a great aromatic. It's like you can't put it down.
I'd like to give that a try if I could.
I would love to. I'd love to hear your view on it and give it a nice smell. That's really one of the key things about my wines is I really want the aromatics to be there. My motto is, if it doesn't smell good, don't put it in your mouth.
That's a kind of a good metaphor for life, I would
think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Where can our listeners learn a little bit more about you guys online?
So they can go to our website at www.spottedowlwine.com, and you can order our wines online. The only wine we distribute nationally is our Mountain Cuvée. And that's a blend of Cab and Syrah that's really popular. It's become kind of the number one compliment I get on. It's a yummy wine. And then we make 7 wines total. We make 2 different Cabs, 2 Syrahs, a Cab Syrah blend, and a fabulous Chardonnay that we just released. And then we're actually going to have a Mount Veeder Pinot coming out. All our wines are very small production, 250 cases or less. And we really go for this aromatic, the mouthfeel, just to make life pleasurable. It's all about wine is everything that I believe about making wine is it makes life's pleasures even better. So you just want to enjoy it.
And Even better yet, dedicated to your daughter.
Yes.
So now I have to ask you a question. I'm curious about your name. What is your, if I could ask your background?
So my background is actually, my mother was born in Poland, my father in Yugoslavia, and so my background is Slavic. And how I got into the winery business is my dad grew up on a vineyard. His father did, his father, so it's like been generational. And so growing up, I heard all these stories about, you know, the vineyards and stuff, and I made it in the biotech industry and was able to kind of start acquiring vineyards and living the good life in Napa.
You had to, because it's in your blood.
I think it is, yeah.
Excellent. Well, it was a real pleasure meeting you.
Likewise, thank you so much.
Bob, good name, I like that.
Thank you.
We are here with Tim Mondavi of Continuum Estate. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing fabulous. Great to have you here at the Premier Napa Valley.
Excellent. It's great to be here. Thank you to the Vintners Association. Let's talk about your lot today.
Well, the 75th lot, but Continuum Estate, this lot that we have is a 5-case lot, and it is a glimpse into the future of Continuum. So it's specifically for the auction. It's 76% Cabernet Sauvignon, 17.5% Cabernet Franc, and 6.5% Petit Verdot. The vines from our estate are planted in 91 and 96, so it means they're about roughly 18-year-old vines for the 2010 vintage. So, and it's our concentrated wine with only 1.6 tons per acre gives great density, but there's also a wonderful polish because of the Franc and because of the way in which we are raising the wine. So it has a silkiness, nuance, and I'm in love with our property and this wine.
I'm going to have to give that a try here in a second. And you talked about a glimpse into the future, so you are also building a brand new winery up there, correct?
We are building a winery, I'm happy to say, and we are hoping to be able to harvest up there for the harvest of 2014. And if we're shot with luck, maybe even the 2013 vintage. We'll see.
Excellent. I wish you the best with that. So tell me, how can our listeners find out more about you online?
Well, you can go on to continuumestate.com. So two U's, C-O-N-T-I-N-U-U-M-E-S-T-A-T-E, continuumestate.com. And it's a wonderful website that shows our property, shows our team, our family, and I hope people will avail themselves of it.
And the best part is family. That's very cool.
Well, we've got 4 of my 5 kids are actively working with us, and the one that isn't is very supportive. So my sister is, she and her children are also partners with us, and we're having a great time.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks very much.
Ray, thank you very much. So continue, it carries on. My family has been going in wine since 1919. And as my father would say, it's just the beginning.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you, Tim.
My pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate your interest.
I appreciate your time.
How are you?
I'm good. We're here with Ray Signorello, and we're talking about your auction lot. What's going on? What do you got here?
Well, it's something exciting. It's called Cuvée Athena, and it's the first collaboration with our two winemakers, Pierre Birbent and Luc Morlet. And it's in the... You can't see this right now, but it's a little picture of my 1-year-old daughter, Athena, and this is a tribute to her.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did she do the label on this?
Well, she helped a little bit.
With a little guidance? That's great. So this is really fabulous. Again, it goes back to the family aspect, which we talked about when we interviewed you, I think, probably 2 years ago now.
It's, the first probably of a succession of different years where we'll show Cuvée Athena, and every year she'll have a picture that shows 1 year older.
She's adorable, man. A little bit of a resemblance going on there.
100% Cabernet.
I think you are a proud dad, aren't you?
I am.
So how's business been for you this year, considering the economy being what it is? How's it been going?
You know, a lot better than it was 2 years ago.
Really? That's good to hear.
Yeah, the end of 08 and 09 and into 2010 was somewhat difficult in the national marketplace. But what we've seen in 2011 is business is strong. It seems people are back to enjoying themselves a little more and spending a little more money once in a while. Maybe not like the years of before 08, but they're spending it at more with more thought, if you will.
Well, it takes time, but I think now you got a little good luck charm, don't you?
I do.
So if our listeners want to learn about you online, where would they find out about you?
SignorelloEstate.com. That's the best place to learn about us, and if you make it to Napa Valley, please come and see us. We're right on the Silverado Trail in the southeastern part of Napa. We've got a great culinary program at the winery, and we like to showcase our wines with some well-prepared food. Thank you.
Oh, Not at all. Thank you. I appreciate your hospitality.
Take care. Enjoy the day.
Thank you, Ray. That was great.
I'm here with Dennis Cakebread of course, the winery Cakebread Cellars. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Ray.
And we had a lot of fun hanging out at the American Harvest Workshop, including a lot of fun golfing, somewhat, anyway, on my part.
It's a great way to pick up some cooking tips and to see how the pros do it. It's been a great program for 25 years now. It was all good. I love to cook, and so this is like getting to go for a spring training with the pros. But and you get to take a couple of swings. It's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So tell me about what your auction lot is today.
So we've got what we call the Vaca Range blend, and so the Vaca Range is all the eastern mountains of the Napa Valley. We own three vineyards going from Howell Mountain to Mid Valley to the southern end down near the Rock Quarry. And so the commonality is mountain vineyards, very volcanic soils, and all on the eastern side. So it's a real sparse soil. So this is a blend of those three vineyards, about half Cabernet, some Syrah, a little Merlot, and a little Cab Franc.
Now, we've been talking this week about this wildfire that was down that way. Did you guys have was there any problems with you or your vineyards at all?
No, we didn't have any vineyard problems, but the problem is it shouldn't be so dry that things burn in February. And so that's the challenge that we've got now. And I know everybody likes to talk about how the lack of rainfall is going to affect our vineyards and stuff. I think they're going to be okay, but we should be more worried about what this means for climate change and really getting serious about addressing our climate change problems.
I'd like to think that the people who don't believe in the concept of climate change are being woken up right now with what we're seeing around the United States.
Yeah. Well, it could be that we're wrong and that there is no climate change, but all I know is that if we screw this up, we don't get a do-over.
Yeah, that's well put, Dennis. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
So for our listeners to learn more about Cakebread Cellars, how can they find out about you online?
Well, we have a very cleverly and innovatively named website called cakebread.com.
And
creativity is our middle name. And if you're a Facebook fan, we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/cakebreadcellars.
Excellent. It's funny how everybody's on Facebook this year. That's great, though. That's a great way to promote yourself.
There's if you enjoy cooking, and I know because you're out at the American Harvest Workshop, we have a great series of videos on our website. We're on YouTube, and so if you YouTube Cakebread, it'll come up with Brian Streeter, our resident executive chef, cooking and slicing and dicing. It's all pretty good.
And Brian's a great guy with a great sense of humor.
He's got a lot of patience too. That's guys like you and me get in the kitchen. So, and I've never been stabbed, so that's pretty good.
Yet. Dennis, it was really good seeing you again.
Thanks, Ray. Good to see you.
So let's chat with you. I am here with Bart Krupp and with Krupp Brothers. And I was calling you Black Bart yesterday because of your one wine, actually.
Black Bart? Well, my name's Bart. And my brother's been developing Stagecoach Vineyards and then started us in the wine business very successfully. And as a thank you, he's named one of the wines after a famous outlaw who used to rob stagecoaches and myself.
So this, I guess, says what he thinks of you.
Uh-oh.
Checks his pockets every time he walks away, right?
Right.
So tell me about your auction lot you have here, Bart.
It's 95% Cab, 3% Merlot, 2% Franc, 2010. And it's from our M5 block, what we consider the best block at our vineyard, Stagecoach Vineyards.
Yeah, and I think a few of our folks out there might be familiar with Stagecoach Vineyards.
Yeah, there's quite a few people that we know here. That's great. Really.
You guys have done a very good job, by the way. How can our listeners learn about Krupp Brothers online? Do you have a website?
We do, KruppBrothers.com.
Thanks.
Nice seeing you again.
You too. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Bart.
Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Good there. I'm Ray. Hey, nice to meet you.
No, you're the guy. You're on the spot now. I'm here with David Latin of Coletto Estate. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well today. Yeah, busy day.
Yeah, very busy day. So tell me, first things first, where is Coletto Estate?
We are on the east side of the Napa Valley, due east of Rutherford. So if you know where Beaulieu Vineyards is, you take Rutherford Crossroad across to the trail and then jog south and you head straight up into the hills. So we are, if you know where Pritchard Hill and Chapelet, that part of the valley, we're the next ridge over. We actually look across the canyon to Chapelet Vineyards.
Yeah, that's kind of a good neighborhood to be in.
Gorgeous place, yeah.
So tell me about your auction lot.
Well, we're doing something a little different today. The room is filled with Cabernet, so we decided to do a non-cab. It's 50% Petit Verdot, 35 Malbec, and then a dash of Syrah just to kind of flesh it out a little bit. So just something a little more opulent in its fruits and less tannic, a little higher acidity. So that's what we decided.
And that was an 2010, you said?
It's a 2009, so it's something we can actually bottle next month and then ship it to whoever the winning bidder is by the fall.
So that's your edge.
That's
they're going to get
edge.
It quicker.
Exactly. I've made the mistake of doing younger wines for years, and now I realize getting wine, getting it to them quicker is a lot better. So
I think it makes sense just to kind of put your one foot forward just to get a little more attention.
I just don't have a good enough memory to keep track of all that.
Well, let me try your wine.
Oh, sure,
please.
You bet. So you notice it has kind of a bluer, darker look to it than the cabs because of the Malbec and the Petit Verdot. Yeah, yeah.
I'm holding this microphone in front of you and nothing's being said here. I'm sorry.
I don't want to make slurping sounds.
No. That's really nice. Do you have a tasting room at all?
We do. We're open by appointment 7 days a week. And so it's really one of the prettier views in the valley. So it's we're a little off the beaten path, but it's well worth it once you make the drive up our driveway.
How many Absolutely. Cases do you make?
We make about 14,000 a year.
So how would people find out about you online?
Just www.coletoestate.com. It's pretty easy.
And can they call you?
They can call us direct. We have, in addition to the four tastings a day, on Fridays we do special sit-down winemaker tastings. I'll do blending trials. We'll do vertical. It's kind of whatever we're doing in the cellar at that time of year, I'll share with whatever guests want to come up and sit down with me. So it's a pretty fun tasting.
David, thanks very much
Pleasure.
For the time.
Nice talking to you, Ray. You bet.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Actually,
yeah, we'll do that. How about that? That's even better.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
See, now you're better than your brother.
There you go.
Do I need
yeah,
that?
I was going to say, yeah. Well, no, I'm asking people because if they have a problem with today, I'm taking issue with it.
What are you doing to solve the problem? That's what I want to know.
No, you know, this is our first premiere, so it's
really?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here with Steve McPherson of Promise. So tell me, how did the name come about with Promise?
You know, Promise was actually, it was a promise that I made to my wife to pursue wine. I'm a long-suffering entertainment executive. You know, I ran ABC for about 7 years and Disney before that. And we got married up here and I started making my wine in 04. We only make 250 cases a year. And it's really a passion project and, you know, kind of has been a great balancing out in life. The wine culture and the entertainment culture are quite different, as you might imagine. So it's really been a labor of love and just a dream come true. I mean, it sounds like cliche, but you know, it was named Promise after that. My wedding ring is the base of the label, and you know, we're doing an 09 cab today, 100% cab. We do 30 months in all new French oak, just do mailing lists, and we're in about 40 restaurants worldwide. And you know, Jamie Oliver just took our stuff in London, and it's really, you know, for me, it's a very personal experience, and I love it. I love it. It's been great.
So, was this a case of kind of getting out of the rat race? Was that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, having been in it, you know, there's some great things about the entertainment industry, but. You know, I have a bunch of Emmys at my house, but when I held my first bottle of wine, it was so much more satisfying. And, you know, I used to joke when I was head of ABC, I left about a year ago, but, you know, if somebody came to the front door of ABC building and said, I love Desperate Housewives, we wouldn't be like, oh, come on in, meet the ladies, it'll be great. And here, I've, you know, 100 times I've called a winery and said, hey, I had your wine at X restaurant, could I come by? Sure, come by, we'd love to taste it for you. And a lot of times, not even when they have wine to sell, you know, so it's not even a sales thing. And I just think the culture and the camaraderie, for me, it's given a tremendous amount of balance in my life, and I love it.
You seem like a very relaxed guy, so I imagine maybe that's a big contrast to what it was a couple of years ago. I don't know.
Huge contrast, huge contrast. I mean, literally just from physical and mental health. I mean, you know, I weighed 250 pounds. I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And, you know, I grew up in France. My dad studied under Spurrier and the expat community. And so something I always wanted to do, but you never think, oh, I can't really do that, you know. And so I've been really fortunate to be able to do it. And my wife and I share the passion, so it's been great.
Sounds like it was already in your blood. Where does your fruit come from?
It's 100% Rutherford fruit from the Winston Hill Estate, which is Rich Frank of Frank Family Vineyards' primary estate. And we farm a block, which is the center block there called the Heart Block.
And we drop a lot of fruit. And again, we do 30 months in all new French oak. So, and a year in the bottle before we release it. So it allows us to do some things meticulously that you wouldn't be able to do with larger production, and get personally involved. And you know, Todd Graff makes the wines, and I kind of tag along for every possible education experience I can. And you know, it's you know, we're now 8 years in the running. It's been really, really fun. Really, really fun.
So do you think, is it in your future to grow it more or try to kind of keep it as boutique as you can?
You know, we one of the reasons we're doing this is, again, you know, we're in about 30 restaurants in the U.S. and then 10 outside. And we'd like to get up to 500 cases, maybe 1,000 as a dream, but never bigger than that. You know, I think because of trying to seek the balance, I don't want to be in a, you know, 25,000, 50,000 case wine, because that's becomes the business aspect of that, I think, is less interesting to me for what this is. And we're not, you know, we're not looking to make money at this. We're looking to be able to sustain it and share it and grow it. So.
Again, it's about passion, and otherwise you end up back where you were, right?
Exactly. It really is. It really is.
With that kind of wine, with 250 cases, I mean, obviously, availability is very limited.
Right.
Could they get it directly from you?
Yeah, directly from me. You can just go to promisewine.com, get on the mailing list, and then we hold back a little bit for the tastings at Frank Family, where we make the wine. But no, absolutely, and you know, my email's on the site, and I really try to respond to things personally, and love new people trying to try it, and we try to keep the allocations really small, so we share it. We do have a waiting list, but we try to get to it quickly and get people out, at least to, you know, try a couple bottles and get it going. So we welcome people going to it.
Excellent. This is a real pleasure talking to you, and you already answered my last question. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it.
Great. So let's take a moment with Sarah Fowler. How's Sarah? How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Just to remind our listeners, you are the winemaker at Peugeot, and we just did a full interview with you the other day.
Yes, that's correct.
So what do you think of this wine we're drinking here?
Oh, my gosh.
Put you on the spot.
No, it's delicious. It's the Promise, and it's phenomenal. I'm really, really enjoying it. One of my favorites so far.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a good wine, and it's also, I like the idea of the Promise. It's a cool name.
Yeah, I agree. Very nice.
So this is a chance for you to go around and look at your fellow winemakers and what they're doing. That's got to be pretty exciting.
It is nice, and I had the opportunity to do some stuff for the Santa Elena Star, so I'm on a panel going through and tasting and writing notes, which actually gets me to focus. But it is nice to see what everybody's doing and what kind of the best of the best of what people come up with, and it's surprising, and there's some real like standout wines out here.
How is it surprising? I'm curious about that.
Well, and this is an opportunity for people to really come up with the best wine possible. And, you know, there's some wines out there that, you know, are kind of middle of the road, maybe aren't always, like, super delicious. But this is their opportunity to really shine if they choose to. And it's nice to see people step forward and actually make that happen.
We'd like to see that, too, because, of course, everybody here is a beneficiary of that.
Right.
So if our listeners want to learn more about you and Peugeot, how can they do that?
They can come by the winery, and we're right there in Rutherford, or you can go to www.peugeot.com.
You did that very well.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
So you want to try some of our Rutherford Cab?
I would love to.
Okay. I just poured you a glass of the 2010 barrel sample of the Terlato Family Vineyards Rutherford Cab. It's a small little vineyard, about 8 acres, that's new, just above Aubert's and just below Catherine Hall's vineyards on the east side of the Rutherford.
This is very nice. I like it. Very smooth. And this is a 10-year?
Yeah, I think most everybody's doing barrel samples in 2010.
Yeah, there's 109, which surprised me.
Yeah, that's a little long in the tooth for being in the barrel.
I should introduce you. We're talking to Doug Fletcher, and you are the Director of Wine Operations. Is that a correct title?
Yes, for the Terlato Family Vineyards.
Excellent. So how has business been for you guys, considering the way the economy has been over the last year or so?
Great. I mean, we're ahead of schedule, for example, at Chimney Rock, and we're right on track with the Terlato Family Vineyards wines, and same with Rutherford. In fact, what's really exciting is yesterday the Vintage Perspective tasting that the vintners did, two of Tony's wineries were selected to be representatives for the whole valley. So Chimney Rock was one of the 14 cabs selected, and Rutherford was one of 9 Merlots selected, and that was out of something like 60 Merlots and 120 Cabernets.
Congratulations. And that's Elizabeth Viano over there, correct?
That's correct. And the winemaker for this is Marisa Taylor Huffaker.
Very nice. And I've always been a big fan of your Rutherford Hill Merlot. That's an awesome wine.
Oh, and I thought it really was very, showed very well yesterday in the tasting, so it was quite gratifying.
And I, more importantly, it's at an exceptional price point, which I hope it stays there.
Yeah, well, it will be. One other thing that I thought was interesting that I think is a trend as well, all the wines that we tasted yesterday at that prospective tasting and picked by our peers, you know, winemakers here in the Valley, were not over-the-top alcoholic or ripe. They were really balanced, wonderful wines. So I think that's a new trend that I think is well worth coming.
That's good to hear that because, of course, the alcohol issue has been floating out there for a long time. It'll be nice to see things return to be all about the wine versus alcohol.
Well, you know, winemakers have never been ones that loved high alcohol wines anyway, and so when they pick the wines, they prefer wines that are balanced and you know, table wines.
How can our listeners find out a little bit more about you and Rutherford Hill or Terlato?
You can find them at any of our websites. So the Terlato Family Vineyards website is terlatofamilyvineyards.com, and Chimney Rock is chimneyrock.com, or you can find all of them at the terlatowinesinternational.com website. And we also have things that we sell online directly called uncorked.com.
Terrific. That's what I was looking for. Thanks very much, Doug. Good seeing you again.
Good seeing you, too.
Cheers.
What do you want to know?
I want to know a little bit about your wine today. Let me see. We are here with Bob Levy, and we're talking about Levy and McClellan wine. Is that correct?
That's correct. This is a lot that we put together, especially for this auction. And it's based around Cabernet Franc. What we found year in and year out, the Cabernet Franc has been one of our favorite lots and has almost always gone into the main blend. So we wanted to craft a wine around it to showcase the finesse and elegance that it contributes to our wine. And that's what we put together here.
And where's the proof crop?
We have a small vineyard on Franz Valley School Road. It's just a 6-acre property. That's where all our grapes are grown.
And so when you do Cab Franc, I mean, that's going to be a little bit different when you're looking at a crowd of 99% Cabernet.
Right, right. It is, but I think you'll see the familial similarity with more elegance and finesse.
How much wine are you making?
We make roughly 400 or 500 cases a year between our two wines, our main wine called Levy and McClellan and a second wine called Ampersand.
And how could our listeners learn a little bit about you online?
You can check it out at www.levymcclellan.com or email us at info@levymcclellan.com.
Bob, good seeing you again. Right. Thank you. Can I try your wine?
Absolutely. I didn't pour it for you yet.
Oh, that's okay. Nice work. Can you pronounce your name for it so I don't destroy it?
Yeah, it's Philippe Bascol.
Philippe Bascol.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. Yeah. I'm here with Philippe Bascol of Inglenook Estates. How are you doing, Philippe?
Yeah, fine. Thank you.
So tell me about what you're pouring today. What is your auction lot?
So this is 2010, only Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's a specific selection made with blocks planted with a selection of clones selected by Gustav Niebaum. So this selection was used to select the clone 29 after.
And how long have you been involved with what is now Inglenook, which was Rubicon Estate?
I have been here just for 5 months. I arrived just before the harvest 2011.
Brand new, but yet are you making a lot of changes at all?
A lot of change in the winery? Or
in terms of how the wine is being made, or at least are you looking at down the road?
You know, first I want just to see, to observe, to taste. I don't want to change. Of course, I have changed some things because sometimes I think that it's I know that it's not good, but I want to take time to just to make change.
Now, obviously, you are French.
Yes.
And do you have much of a familiarity with American wines at all before you came here?
I can't say not at all, because of course I tasted before some Californian wines, I discover the region, the estate, and the wines. Yes, it's very new for me.
I look forward to the future of Inglenook to see what you do to the label. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think you know my first goal is just to take 100% of the quality of the grapes. And after that, my second goal is to increase the quality of the grapes. But this will take more time. So once again, I am here with my palate. So we Maybe I could select different wines, not with the same balance. So I hope that you could see some change, yes?
I hope so too. It's got to be somewhat of a radical difference, maybe not radical, the difference in the climate though that you're dealing with here.
Except maybe for 2011, because 2011 we had rain, we had so
it's very much a Bordeaux climate, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think I brought with me the weather of Bordeaux.
Oh, you're the guy we blame.
Yeah. And but I think to speak about the 2011, I am very pleased with the quality of the 2011, even if it's not a great vintage, because all the wine will not be good, but with a good selection, I'm sure that we will be able to make a wonderful Rubicon.
Well, I wish you nothing but luck, and I hope all goes well.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers.
A real pleasure meeting you.
Thanks for listening to the Premier Napa Valley Podcast, Part 2. Part 3 will go online March 16th. For more information, go to our website, lifebetweenthevines.com. Copyright 2012.